Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Time now to talk company results, and this time we reflect on Sanlam. This is a significant player and the continent's biggest insurer. If you consider Sanlam's operations in the African continent, markets like India, and of course, key investments and partnerships that they've made in South Africa, if you consider Assupol, this is a big player in the insurance sphere. Today they published their earnings, and fundamentally their half-year results did see significant growth right across the spectrum. Key numbers in positive territory. New business volumes up by 7%, key partnerships being announced as a joint venture with Time Bank, and of course, us as South Africans being resilient in terms of our insurance payments despite the tough economic climate. To tell us more, we're joined by Abigail Makuba, Sanlam Group's Financial Director. Abigail, such a pleasure to speak to you as always, ma'am, and thank you so much for making time. I guess as we reflect on the half-year results, there are several highlights that we can certainly speak to. But I'm quite keen, if you juxtaposition this with the economic landscape that we operate in, what have some of the highlights been for you?
Good evening, Gugu, and lovely to speak to you today. I think in these results, what we're flagging as highlights is the fact that even in difficult conditions, we were able to partner with our clients to help them to navigate through such difficult conditions. And that in turn also helped us in making sure that we still deliver on value for our shareholders. So it's really that the continued focus on client-centric results in solutions proposition that we have for our clients was able to pay off in the delivery of bottom line results for our shareholders as well. So it talks to both taking care of the customer needs, but also making sure that as an investment, the business still delivers on required returns.
Mm. Let's talk about, you know, how these the business has delivered on the required returns, specifically when it comes to new business volumes, essentially growing by 7%. Is this on the back of new acquisitions, the partnership with Assupol? In other words, where's the growth coming from?
In fact, a lot of our acquisitions that we have is only laying the foundation for future growth. It didn't have such a big impact on the current business performance. In fact, if you look at our current business performance, what you would refer to as M&A activity only impacted or contributed about 4% of our earnings. Mm. And in terms of our volumes, a lot of that volumes, yes, was driven by Assupol as one of the drivers, so elements of the drivers in the life business. But you'll remember that was also a strategic move for us to fill the gap that remained after the cessation of the Capitec joint venture. So at least that also showed that we had at least the sense to the foresight to make sure that we fill that gap before it actually happened. A lot of our growth really came from our retail mass business, not only the Assupol business, but also the former retail mass businesses, which talks more to the entry-level businesses that contributed to our growth.
Let's talk about retail mass for just a moment and deep dive into that. As you mentioned, the acquisition of Assupol contributing very marginally to the numbers, but there's also big growth ambitions there with a partnership regarding Time Bank. Let's help unpack the metrics and the numbers that you're targeting here. 10 million customers, 10 million policyholders. Help us understand how this will be achieved.
Yeah, so we generally measure both in terms of KPIs. We look at number of policies, but obviously with any policies, you might have more than one life that's touched in that regard. I have seen numbers that talk about 10 million policies that we are targeting, but obviously that would be like a minimum. You wanna outdo or at least perform at an even higher level. But I think ultimately, if you look at the South African market, I think the one of the segments that's highly contested is definitely that entry-level market. And the partnership with Time Bank allows us to improve on our offering. I think people are looking for financial services solutions that are holistic, that provide not only a funeral cover, but other different sorts of financial services. And I think the partnership with Time Bank gives us that opportunity. I think you might have seen some of our competitors they have their own in-house banks, and we said that we had no intention of building or owning a bank, but where there is strategic fit, we then would have partnerships, and Time is our preferred partner in offering our clients that holistic solution. We're aiming to have a position where you've got branches that you can have a full product suite where you can access time products, but also be able to be in a position where if you're visiting a time kiosk, you're able to have full access to the Sanlam or Asupol product suite as well. So it's all about just building that scale and making sure that we've got accessibility of all possible products for our clients at the easiest of convenience.
That sounds like quite a hefty investment, looking to open up a few branches. I'm keen from a financial point of view, as you look at your key metrics, you know, return on invested capital versus the outcomes of the returns on the WACC. How are you going to calculate this? And I guess what metrics have you put in place to ensure that the capital outlay does yield the necessary return?
Yeah, I think, I mean, already, as you said, you made mention of return on return on investment. So if you look at the Asupol acquisition, which happened end of last year or towards the end of last year, 2024, already since acquiring that business, we've just made almost 30% return on investment since we've bought on that business. So obviously, like any other capital allocation decision, before you decide on your branch expansion strategy, you do need to have an analysis to say what is the return that you're going to get for that footprint that you're going to put in place. But I think, again, in terms of the value proposition and the business, the commercial business case that the team has put together, we can't say publicly now what is the ROI that we are targeting, but I can confirm that already in the existing business, since we've invested in this business, we've already seen an ROI of just below 30%.
Okay, double digits and significant growth there. I'm keen for us to also, you know, just a position and contrast the South African operations versus the investments you have in the partnership with Allianz across the continent, and of course Shriram in India. How much of your revenue now is generated outside of our borders, and where do you see ongoing growth and opportunity within the markets you've invested in?
So our split pretty much is about, let's just say, between 50 to 60% remains in South Africa, and then you've got about 15 and another 15%. So roughly the India and the Pan-Africa portfolio are roughly equal currently. But obviously, when you put them next to each other, we all can see what the growth ambitions and targets are for the different geographies and the different GDPs in the footprint. And India clearly has a higher growth targets than the rest of Africa. Mm-hmm. I think the important thing to learn here is we've been in India for about 15 to 20 years, and it's showing in terms of the patience and the duration or the length of the investment, that investment is now paying off. And we can see that that's going to replicate with Africa. So Africa, or our portfolio in Pan-Africa, is not a short-term investment. It's a long-term investment that we're in it for the long haul, and we expect that to grow. I would expect that the 15-15 split should probably grow over the next few years, where you will see India probably becoming a larger chunk. I think the important thing for us is that you rather want the size of the pie to actually get bigger at large, and the rest should take care of itself. But overall, I think exciting. Exciting future that we see ahead for the India operation. Mm-hmm. If you just look across all the metrics, they're delivering quite strong business growth, and they're delivering quite strong diversified value add in terms of our underlying KPIs. And then on the Africa continent, quite diversified. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you have exposures to Forex and different markets, mm-hmm. but as a whole, that portfolio is also performing quite strongly.
Mm-hmm. This year has been a good year in terms of the macroeconomic fundamentals when it comes to operations across the continent, where currency devaluations haven't been as prominent. But I'm just keen to understand the hedging strategies that you've got in place to mitigate against that risk.
Yeah, so obviously with the South African market, you've got deep financial services markets that you're able to put hedging strategies and you've got flexibility. On the Pan-Africa region, you've got a bit of a limited liquidity on those markets, But so you can, if you look at the South Africa portfolio, pretty much around 99% hedged. In the rest of the continent, we rather look at the diversity of the 27 markets that we trade in to create that natural hedge. In terms of foreign currency exposure, I think last year we saw the Nigerian naira and the Egyptian pound and that devaluation happening there. But then if you look at the portfolio at large, what you lose on the one side, you do gain elsewhere. So the net effect was not that material. In fact, over this reporting period now, we've actually seen currency impacting our earnings by about 2% to the positive. So it actually benefited us this time around. But obviously, we are aware that it's a volatile market and it could go the other way around. But you continue to manage your portfolio at local currency level and make sure that it delivers on minimum return requirements.
100%. Abigail, before I let you go, you've been on a very strong acquisitive drive post the pandemic. And as you mentioned, these businesses are just laying the foundation for future growth. Is there still any, you know, gunpowder that's dry left to fire any additional acquisitions? Or is this where we press the pause button for a moment?
We always want to make sure that we continue on building the foundation, and we're forever looking at opportunities that create value. And as long as we can afford them and it creates commercial business sense and it creates value, why not consider those opportunities? Obviously, one can't say there's deals that are we're looking at because obviously those things are subject to sensitivities and confidentialities. But to the extent that there are opportunities that would create value, we would always look at them. I think I've seen a few reports where people talk about our levels of discretionary capital or available capital being quite significantly high and above our target range. We have explained what some of that discretionary capital has been ring-fenced for. We still, after you've taken out the amount that's ring-fenced, you still have significant amounts. So it gives you opportunity or flexibility during times of opportunity. And usually when markets are in turmoil, sometimes you do find opportunities during those times. So you just want to create an environment where you've got the flexibility.
I like it. You basically have options, and should you want to pursue them, then you will. But you've got the flexibility in terms of the necessary balance sheet to unlock that.
Correct.
Abigail, such a pleasure speaking to you, ma'am. Really appreciate your time and value the insight that you've given us on the numbers tonight.
Thank you, Google. Good evening.
Thank you. That is Abigail Makuba, Group Financial Director at Sanlam.
Kaya Biz with Google Tumfupi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.